Hi, I'm Heather Barnhouse, partner and national co-leader of the Dentons Canada Agribusiness Group. Our team offers expertise across all major areas affecting the agricultural industry, including ag tech, intellectual property, regulatory, finance, tax, employment, risk management, zoning, and more. We offer local expertise in all major Canadian centers and in 160 plus offices in over 80 countries worldwide. Dentons helps its clients navigate challenges and opportunities seamlessly everywhere they do business. Today, we will be having a conversation on how to structure a farming business in the most advantageous way from start to finish, including an initial structure, when to make changes, and some key considerations around income splitting, succession planning, and exit strategy. Speaking to us today, we have Keith Hennell, a partner in our tax group with extensive experience in the agribusiness space, along with Adam Kotlowitz, an associate who specializes in tax, intellectual property, and technology. Both are here to share key takeaways that have been invaluable to their clients and can help you. So Keith and Adam, today we are going to start by talking about our favorite topic, which is taxation for farmers, and some of the unique challenges that we know farmers have are that they are land rich, cash poor, they are blending decisions, managing different expectations with their farm and their family decisions. And we also know that there are some demographic changes that are affecting farmers, perhaps disproportionately than in other industries. And I wondered if you guys could give us a little bit of an overview for how these factors that I just mentioned are some of the issues that are affecting farmers as they're starting to make some decisions.
Well, thanks, Heather. Yeah, so all those factors come into play when deciding, you know, initially, you know, how to structure a farming business and what business vehicle to choose. And that may change over the life cycle of a farming operation. And so today, Adam and I are going to touch on the basic business vehicles and structures for farms and farmers and kind of give some context around their taxation, how they work, and generally how they might suit the needs of a particular farm business at the life cycle they have. And then, you know, later on in a different podcast series, we'll be talking about some more meat and potatoes about some of the technical issues that arise in farms because their taxation is special and there's different rules that apply to farm businesses from a tax perspective. And then we're going to deep dive into some succession planning with respect to farms and transitioning farms to the next generation, for example. But to get started, I think we'll discuss the basic business vehicles that are out there that many operators will know and understand, but some may not, and some may be struggling with what to choose. And so, you know, the first one that comes up initially when you're starting a business is whether to be a sole proprietor or to incorporate. And we'll discuss some of that, and then we'll discuss partnerships and joint ventures and how those operate. So to get started, Adam, do you mind kind of discussing what it means to be a sole proprietor and kind of the pros and cons of operating that way?
Sure. So really, if a farm is operating as a sole proprietor, what that really means is that you are owning and operating that farm individually. So any income that the farm earns, you report as earning yourself. Any expenses as well, you're going to have to report individually. And this can be contrasted to incorporation, where instead of the farm assets being owned by yourself, it's now owned by a new entity, that being the corporation. And one of the benefits of continuing to own a farm as an individual is, as I said before, you report taxes individually, which means that the farm's operating at a loss. Any losses that the farm has can be used to offset other gains you might have incurred or other income you might have had personally. So if you have an investment account that's earning money and has income or capital gains, that could be used to offset whatever losses are coming from the farm ultimately reducing your taxable income. Where if it's in a corporation, it's siloed off and you don't have that same type of loss utilization possibility. So that's maybe one factor where operating the farm individually could be beneficial versus if it was in a corporation. And Keith, maybe you want to touch on some of those advantages that could be gained if you do have the farm within a corporation.
Sure, yeah. In addition to sole proprietor being a bit of a simple structure, we'll move on to the corporate structure, whereby the farming business and assets are owned by a corporate entity, which you have to create at corporate registries. And then there might be some tax maneuvering that we can assist with, or you have to be mindful of if you already have an existing business, to transfer that into the corporation. And we can do that for you on a tax deferred basis. But once you have a corporate vehicle, some of the main benefits of operating through that corporation are liability protection, which Heather knows well in her practice. A shareholder of a corporation, generally speaking, isn't liable for the debts and liabilities of the corporate entity. So right away, that adds some value. Corporation is taxed as its own entity and files a tax return as its own entity. Income splitting opportunities are another benefit of operating through a corporation. You have many shareholders that you could have, your family members or others involved, and they can potentially receive dividend income or employment income from that business, depending on you know, the rules at the time. So there's benefits to that. There's also the benefit from a tax perspective of potentially multiplying the capital gains exemption, the lifetime capital gains exemption to the various shareholders, which is a huge value, especially in today's increasing tax rates. Getting access to that exemption is very important. And you will, you know, we'll talk about down the road about family trusts and how those can come into play with respect to holding shares of a corporation and the benefits to those. And maybe Adam, this time is a good idea to kind of touch briefly on the lifetime capital gains exemption and what that means and what that's about.
Just before we go there, Adam, can I just add one factor, Keith, that I think we see quite a bit with our farm families, and of course this is not a one size fits all, but when you talked about the liability protection within a corporation, depending on what all is going on the farm, sometimes there are sometimes you have partners for certain aspects of your farming. Sometimes you might have, you know, a high tech or a more novel concept that's still in a beta testing phase, and you wouldn't want a liability that arises from a technology gone bad situation to really taint the value of the income that you have earned through your farm. And so that's another reason when we think about incorporation, we often think about it at the very beginning, which is the right time to think about it. But as the farm operation grows, and as you maybe take on new property or new partners or new initiatives, it's also a good reminder, I think, to think about that liability protection as the farming business grows, so that we're always being mindful of ensuring that we have a structure that's appropriate for the risk that the farm has taken on. And I know we've seen that more and more as people are starting to diversify the type of operations that they're doing. So I thought I would just throw that into the conversation.
No, absolutely. That's a great point. And some points in time when an operation gets to a certain size, or there's certain types of assets that you want to separate from business risk, definitely some restructuring might be needed.
Sorry.
Yeah, thanks. No, thanks, Heather. That's helpful. In relation to the lifetime capital gains exemption, as Keith mentioned, it's a policy that's instituted by the Canadian government that allows individuals to shelter a certain amount of their capital gains. And this amount increases each year. It's indexed to inflation typically. And as of June 2024, with the most recent budget changes, that amount is $1.25 million. So an individual can sell either qualified small business corporation shares or qualified farm or fishing property and shelter $1.25 million worth of a capital gain. And this amount, as I mentioned, is typically indexed to inflation, with that indexation reoccurring in 2026, and it's taking a pause in 2025. in order to qualify as a qualified small business corporation or a qualified farming property, there's specific rules in the Income Tax Act that you have to meet. And we recommend consulting us or your respective tax advisors just to make sure that your farm or the farm property meets these tests. But in relation to why a corporation might help versus running through a sole proprietorship, in relation to the lifetime capital gains exemption, it will broaden the base of the property and the value that could qualify. So for qualified farm property, it has to be real property, where for qualified small business corporation shares, the value that can now be used and sheltered upon a sale is broader because it will cover inventory and other assets that give the company its value that might not be considered qualified farm property if it's held individually. So that's one potential benefit of incorporating with the lifetime capital gains exemption. And another benefit that you can really see the lifetime capital gains exemption help in a business is this concept of a multiplication of the lifetime capital gains exemption. So if in a corporation, let's say you were a family of four and each held shares, there's a potential that each individual now has access to this $1.25 million exemption amount, where you've now made it practically four times the 1.25 that you would have had access to if you only held that property yourself. So the multiplication is really where farmers could capitalize on the lifetime capital gains exemption and when it might make sense to incorporate.
Thanks, Adam. Another benefit that may or may not be, depending on the farm, cash flow as beneficial as other business operations and their cash cycle is the potential to defer, get a deferral of income in the corporation. And because the corporation is taxed as a taxpayer, and then so that's the first level of tax. And then there's a concept, there's a second level of tax when that shareholder takes money from out of the corporation. And so long as that taxed income doesn't leave the corporation, you've only sustained one level of tax. And so to the extent you can leave the money behind, for lack of a better term, there is some tax deferral opportunity there. So there's some benefit there if you have a lot of, you know, cash flow or reinvesting that in the business to incorporate. There's a small business deduction up to $500,000, which at a low tax rate is also a benefit of the incorporating. And then the flexibility of the different types of remuneration, be it dividend, salary, and incentivizing employees via stock options, are all different types of things that corporations add value to the business planning. Is there anything I missed there, Adam?
Yeah, a potential drawback of corporation now that we're in past June 2024 is the increased capital gains inclusion rate for individuals versus corporations and trusts. So as of this year, really as of this summer in June, individuals now have the ability to still have capital gains taxed at a one-half inclusion rate amount. And that's for capital gains that they've incurred that are $250,000 and less for the taxation year will still take advantage of that half rate. And when I say half inclusion rate, what that means is if you sold a property for $200 that you originally bought for $100, you'd have a $100 capital gain, and then the old regime would have $50 being the half inclusion into your taxable income. As of June, no matter the corporation, if they incur capital gain, the inclusion rate is two-thirds. So that's a potential drawback in having property within a corporation that didn't really exist before June, when we had similar inclusion rates for individuals and corporations. But with that now being increased for corporations, the incentives of incorporating might differ than they did before. And the last thing I wanted to touch on is, which is also new, this is a new measure that was introduced in the budget 2024 that's going to take effect in January 2025, and that's the Canadian Entrepreneurs Incentive. So this was announced last week, the changes to it, and it's now going to be a individual might have access to an extra ability to have a lower inclusion rate of $2 million. So as I said before, There's a lifetime capital gains exemption. There's the one half inclusion rate for individuals for capital gains less than $250,000. And there's this new incentive that can also decrease the inclusion rate. So the government has introduced these sorts of measures to try and combat that increase in two-thirds. And of note for farmers, not only do small business corporation shares potentially qualify for this new incentive, but qualified farm property is now also able to take advantage of the Canadian Entrepreneurs Incentive, which is a brand new change. It's still in its infancy stages. We are waiting for draft legislation and to really, after commentary has happened on the newest announcement, we still need to see what this draft legislation will look like. But it's an incentive that could be of assistance in this context.
Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe to our Agribusiness podcast series to stay updated with our latest episodes. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and share it with others who might find it valuable. Until next time. Dentons is a global legal practice providing client services worldwide through its member firms and affiliates. This episode does not constitute legal or other advice. You should not take or refrain from taking action based on its content. Please contact a legal practitioner to obtain advice with respect to any legal matter. Please see dentons.com for legal notices.